Hey, it's Lauren. Thank you so much for listening to The Afterlife. Enjoy the episode. This episode has been sponsored by my business, Lauren Grace Inspirations. I'm a business and life mentor, a workshop facilitator, a soul-led entrepreneur, and host of The Afterlife podcast. I'm passionate about supporting people like you through transformative courses, mentorship, and trainings so that you can live the life that you choose. I love all things time management and helping the people that I work with to master their mindset. I truly believe that life is a precious gift, and when we can learn to be at one with our thoughts, when we can learn to love ourselves, control and master our time, we really can live an extraordinary life. I have a whole bunch of free offers on my website, and I strongly encourage you to go and check them out. I'd love to keep in touch with you. You can find me over at Lauren Grace Inspirations on all the socials, as well as laurengraceinspirations.com. And I strongly encourage you to sign up for my newsletter. 2 times a month, at least, I send a positive newsletter that's all about helping you to live the best life possible. I always include a card of the day, a business or a strategy tip, and I also include a spiritual lesson. I would love to have you join me, and I'd love to join you on your journey. Thank you and enjoy the episode. Hi, it's Lauren Grace here and welcome to the show. So I have decided to separate this particular show into 2 episodes. So I'll release part 1 this week and then part 2 will be released next week. One of the reasons why I wanted to do this is because it is chock full of information, and sometimes we miss those golden nuggets when there's so much for us to really digest. So I really highly recommend that you grab a notepad. Maybe you'll even want to listen to this episode more than once. It's totally up to you, of course. And I will be releasing part 2 next week. So enjoy. This is such a great conversation. Hi, Lauren Grace here, and welcome to The Afterlight. And I'm joined today by Kathy Harmon Luber. She is a certified sound therapy and sound healing practitioner, a Reiki master, shamanic practitioner, classically trained flutist, and award-winning fine art photographer. She's an inspiring author whose passion is helping people navigate the challenging terrain of the healing journey. Kathy helps others find their compass and chart a course for navigating illness, injury, and loss, learning how to not only cope, but to become more resilient, joyful, and thriving. Her best-selling book, Suffering to Thriving, Your Toolkit for Navigating Your Healing Journey, How to Live a More Healthy, Peaceful, and Joyful Life, is full of wisdom gleaned from decades of healing from her own debilitating health crisis. And Kathy is joining me today to talk about how we can navigate through suffering to lead more healthy, peaceful, and joyful lives. Kathy, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here.
Hi, Lauren. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
I've got to say that I love so much the quotes that you had included in your book. There are so many there that I'm like, oh, I got to highlight, got to write that one down, got to remember that one. That's a goodie, you know? And I thought that I wanted to start with one of the quotes that you had said in your book, because I thought it would set up the conversation in the way that I wanted it to go, or where I want to take us, which is, be patient where you sit in the dark. Dawn is coming. And that is a beautiful quote from Rumi. And I just think such a beautiful segue into our conversation today. So wonderful. We are going to be talking a lot about the concept of suffering. I want to talk about, do we choose to suffer? Why do some people choose to suffer if that is the case when others don't? We're going to be talking a bit about whether there are any gifts to be found within suffering, how we can support those around us who may be dealing with some of these tough situations, the importance of resilience, and whether or not we are choosing to suffer on our journey, or whether or not these things sort of randomly happen to us. So we've got a lot of subjects to discuss today. Before we get there, though, you do have quite the background, the spiritual background. Tell me about where it began. Have you always been open to these magical, extraordinary concepts? Was this something that you found that was sort of triggered from your own healing journey, or how did it all begin?
It's a little of both, Lauren, and I love this question. It began When I was a child, growing up in Pennsylvania, we had woods behind our house. I was really into nature, and I think I became very, very grounded in just sort of awe and magic and wonder of that life, the animals, the woods, the whole thing. So I always was a very curious child, and that sort of set the stage for the spiritual journey. When I was in my 20s, I really began searching. I felt this yearning, as Rumi says so eloquently in so many of his poems. It's about the yearning for something, which is our deeper self, really. And so I began that long journey. That was decades ago. I started, exploring Buddhism and mysticism and just many things. I was very much into not following any one path, but just being curious about world religions and taking a little from here and a little from there. And then when I was about 21, I was told I had the spine of an 80-year-old woman and that I'd be in a wheelchair by the time I was in my mid-30s. A doctor actually told me that, and it never came true, thankfully. But it put me on this path of trying to make the best of my life. Not I had autoimmune diseases as well, and for a while I was just super sick. And I think when you're faced with that moment where you're not really sure how long you're going to live, and I was young then, and happy to say I've had many, a few decades of this healing journey, but every time something would happen in the healing journey, it set me further into my spiritual search. And, as I write in the book, I think that our healing journey, whether that's from something physical, a disease, a mental illness, it could be something emotional, it could be a disruption in your life, a divorce or losing a job or a loved one. Anything on the healing journey is embedded in our life's journey. If we are lucky to live long enough, every person will go through at least one major health crisis, probably, or other kind of disruption in their life. But our healing journey is embedded in our life's journey, which is embedded in our soul's journey. And so often, when we are deep in the healing journey, this portal opens to exploring spiritually, exploring all kinds of things. It's often an opportunity to learn more, either just about the world or in a spiritual nature. But it becomes this portal for life purpose, even. I thought I had my life purpose dialed in. I was, working with nonprofit organizations that make the world a better place, helping homeless kids and all kinds of good stuff. And I thought that was really my calling in life. But when this last big health crisis happened in 2016, and I was flat on my back for 5 years, pretty much with an inoperable spinal issues, it set me on a whole new course to fine-tune. It really did become that portal for asking the right questions, really. Not what, why did this happen to me? What's going to happen to me? Those are all the wrong questions. The right questions become, what is it? What is, if this is a portal to something new and exciting in my life, what if this is the first step to finding my life's calling? There are all kinds of great inquiries. And of course, flat on my back, I had lots of time those first couple of years. And those quotes that are in the book, I actually turned to those quotes for hope and support when I was in my darkest times. And I thought they would be helpful to other people because we all go through things where we just need that little bit of inspiration to help us even get through a day or a moment, right?
Beautiful. So well said. One of the things that I love that you said off the top there was you referenced your deeper self. Whereas, we talk a lot about the higher self, which I believe to be the same thing, but I loved the way
It
that
is.
you sort of explored the deeper self. I really resonated with that. So thank you for sharing
Yeah.
that. I feel like that's something I'm going to take forward with me. And we've only just got started.
Beautiful.
I love that quote in
Yes.
your book. So you say health crises break the rhythm of our lives, but they can be a portal to a better life full of new opportunities. And I wrote a different ending to my story. You sort of alluded to it a little bit there. One of the things that I'm interested in exploring with you, and I will say for our listener at home, that there are lots of different avenues or portals we can go through within this conversation, but I do want to keep it focused today on the journey of suffering and healing through that, because I believe that whether or not people are dealing with health or loss, grief on some level, that a lot of people can resonate to the subject. And if they can't resonate personally for themselves right now, chances are they know someone who's dealing with something. So I'm going to keep us on the straight and narrow for that, for this conversation. But I wanted to ask you a little bit about, do you feel that for yourself, for example, you have always sort of had that knack to kind of look at the positive? You seem to, at least so eloquently there, summarize it. It seemed like you were looking for hope in the darker times, or that you were looking and seeing almost like this silver lining. I would imagine that, did that happen right at the very beginning, or did that sort of come after a little bit of maybe suffering and later, I
Oh,
guess,
yeah.
acceptance?
Yeah. I don't want to sugarcoat any of it. There were plenty of dark nights of the soul and total suffering. And it's happened in my life many times where I've gone through a something, and there are all kinds of things that we go through in life where we have a moment where we have to choose. When the spinal thing happened in 2016, I was flat on my back. I was miserable. I was in terrible pain. I was in agony. It's like I just had no hope. I was really in a dark place. And I reached out and I got help. And that's something, I just want to say to our listeners that if you're in a really dark place, get help. That's not a weakness. It's a sign of strength that you do that for yourself. But so there are those kinds of suffering where we just need to get the help of a professional to work through. But then there's the everyday moment of choice. It's like in every moment of our lives, we have a choice. I laid there in bed and said to myself, this is one of those moments where I'm so miserable, and I could see myself becoming just this bitter old woman one day, or I could choose a different way. And I didn't always see the silver lining in things. There were many times where I'd go long periods of time where I just didn't see what the gift was in what I went through. But I think part of the concept I try to explain in the book is your mind is your medicine. That was one of the first lessons I learned in this suffering thing. It's like we can suffer in every moment of our lives for the rest of our lives if we choose that. And I'm not talking about people who are in war-torn countries right now. I mean, there are a lot of people who are going through terrible situations of suffering, but I'm speaking more of our everyday healing crises, losing a job, going through a divorce, grief and loss. I mean, we can choose to suffer or not. And so it really becomes using your mind as your medicine and saying, is there a gift here? What could that gift be? Instead of looking at perhaps inability, like I was down for the count at that time. And up until that time, the day before, I used to swim for an hour at the local pool. I hiked in our mountains. I mean, I had this super active life. I was on three boards of directors. I had a job, all this stuff. And it came to a crashing halt. And in that moment, for the first few months, I thought, oh, this will pass, until it didn't, and then it's a year and 2 years. And so you have to look at acceptance of what is. And I think that is one of the suffering traps that we get into, is not accepting what our situation is. If we're in this situation where, let's say, you have some sort of physical disability, not accepting that is going to cause more suffering. But accepting it and saying, this is just what it is right now, within this parameter, what can I do? What is my ability? Turning. And so I had been playing classical flute every weekend, professionally, up until that point. And I could no longer do that, obviously, flat on my back. I said, what are my other options? I took my Native American flute and I could play that. I couldn't ride horses. I say this in the book, but I could sketch horses. So you begin to look at, these sounds silly, I know, but when you're in that place of really not being able to do something, when parts of your life start being pulled away from you, and this happens to all of us, just, you know, my parents are aging and I'm watching that happen to them, you know, as they get older, they are unable to do certain things. And we have another moment of choice. It's like, do we try to either find something new to fill the gap or do things in a new way that enable us to? So acceptance right off the top. And acceptance doesn't mean I'm going to be sick forever and I'm not going to try. It's not giving up, you know. There's this thing about surrendering to, this is what is, and I accept it. And how can I be my best self? There's a wonderful quote that I include in the book at the moment. I can't remember who said it, but what can I do today that my future self will thank me for? Mm-hmm. And I read that when I was down for the count, and I thought it blew my mind. It was like, wow, like, what could I do today? And so, you know, that's how the book was born. Okay, so that number one, that's how the book was born. I started collecting quotes and then I just started writing things down that helped me get through. So I wrote them in my journal. That became the book. The book became part of my new life. And so it's finding some of those things that keep us from just suffering in that moment, mm-hmm. to trying to find a way through it, because it is about the journey. The journey can be beautiful. And I look back on this now, and I know this is going to sound crazy. I did spend 5 years in bed, bedridden. And so, you know, like, I look back on that and I can actually be grateful for that. That's part of my daily gratitude practice, is I am grateful that I went through that, because it took me from also just loving doing sound healing and all of that to making that a large part of my life. I think another suffering trap, Lauren, is comparison, you know, comparing ourselves to other people and what they can do. Mm-hmm. And when we get in that, it doesn't matter whether you're sick or whether you're, you know, just a perfectly healthy person going about your life. When we start comparing ourselves to other people and not being true to our own soul's calling, that inner voice. It is, when I say, you know, looking at the deeper self, it really is that turning our eyes inward to our hearts and listening to the whispers of our hearts. And I did a lot of that during that period. That helps us to get out of suffering, because it helps us to hear those heart whispers of what our soul really wants.
When you were talking earlier about not being able to, you know, ride horses, but you can draw them, and sort of finding these almost compromises in a way. I know you mentioned that you said it sounds silly. It doesn't at all. What it does sound like is sort of going back to what you're talking about just now, which is about you are kind of honoring where it is you are on your journey, and you're sort of meeting yourself where you are. And, you know, I know you've gotten your quote, but or in your book, but, you know, Eckhart Tolle is my main man. And, you know, when he's talking all about how what we resist persists, and when we suffer very often because we don't want to accept things the way that they are. And I think sometimes people get confused, because when people are looking at the situation and they're going, well, I don't like the situation, so why would I accept it? Well, when you accept it, it doesn't mean that you have to like it, but you just have to accept that this is what's sort of happening right now here in this moment. Now, one of the things that you did bring up, which I'd like to ask you a little bit about, is the concept of surrendering. And I think that surrendering in life can actually help us a lot, whether or not we are suffering with something or not, because it sort of allows us and gives us the grace of being able to get out of our own way. And as Wayne Dyer talks about, it allows us to let God in. I think he said something like, you know, when we feel like we're actually being done. So the concept is that when we are sitting back and we're surrendering, that we actually allow life to take the trajectory or help us along the path. Can you talk to me a little bit about that?
Yeah, I love that. And I love Wayne Dyer and, you know, Eckhart Tolle too. I think surrender is huge on the healing journey, life journey, right? In life, you're right. Surrender is so important. I don't remember who said this, but someone said something like, you know, it's about going with the flow of the river and not swimming upstream, right? Mm. That's the surrender concept. It's allowing you to be where you are in your life and listen to your heart and soul and not force things. Like, okay, so classic example of not surrendering, like early on, I was like, well, in the past when a disc ruptured, you know, in 3 months, I was up and back to work and back to my office and all these things. And, you know, I put that expectation on myself and I drove myself toward that. And it just wasn't happening. I had to surrender to my body and accept what the situation was and see what opportunities came. And it's so interesting. The moment you have that letting go, that surrendering, it's like, this is not something I have control of. I just have to let go and see where things go every day. Just take one more step and just see how things are going in your life. New doors open to me all over the place. And it's been true in other points of my life also. It's like, once we make that decision to surrender and let go of what is no longer serving us and not hold on to it tightly. Like for a while, I was still holding on to those bored, you know, positions that I had. It's like, I can still do it from bed. No problem. I can do this. Until I really sat with it. It's like, why am I doing this? This is not good for my health. I have to let that go and make room for new things. And then suddenly all these other doors start opening, which were things that really lit me up that I wanted to be doing. And when we're in that place, whether we're sick or not, you know, it's like when you're lit up with whatever is your passion, whether it's something that's an existing passion or something that just comes to you as something new and intriguing and you're curious about and you're enthusiastic about, that is healthy for you. That is joy. That brings you joy. And that's so good for our health. And we sometimes forget that when we're trying so hard to heal, we're trying to do all the right things. We forget that it's as easy as just surrendering and just seeing what appears on our path that lights us up and following that, you know, going that step in that direction and seeing where that takes us. And that I believe that's also how we find life purpose too at times.
I agree. That's so beautiful. I think one of the things as well, you know, kind of the underlining theme here is that we very often forget about our power. We forget Yes. to step into our power. We forget that surrendering is a choice. We forget Mm-hmm. that, you know, looking at the bright side, you know, looking at maybe Mm-hmm. our ability to draw horses versus ride them, for example, is our opportunity to step in and own that power. And That's do right. you think that a lot of people sort of struggle with that, and they play that yeah. victim role without maybe even realizing it? Very often it could be learned behavior. I think sometimes though we give away our power throughout life that we sort of forget yes. that we have this ability. I remember when I first got into mediumship and I was really nervous about energy and stuff like that. And I had some old programs, which is another conversation entirely, but
yeah,
I was reminded from one of my healer friends about my ability to be powerful and bring yes. the light, and how nothing can intervene or affect us without our permission, which sometimes
that
seems
is
like,
right.
You know what? You know? And so, yeah, I'd love to hear a little bit more about your thoughts within that and our ability to step into our power, especially when we are at a disadvantage, I guess you could say, health-wise. You know, we all know when we're not feeling ourselves, feeling sick or whatnot, we're not always operating at the same level as we could be if we were really healthy and resilient and walking out the door and greeting a brand new day.
That's right. That's right. And yeah, I love what you said. And because there, I think a lot of it is old behaviors, societal pressure, or whatever, that we forget that we have this tremendous power, and we have to step into it and own it. And power, gets a bad rap. I mean, we often think of power as being an abuse of power or power over other people, but there is this standing in your own power, and that is being your authentic self and fully feeling your presence and being empowered to speak your authenticity. And not just speak, I mean speak, act, whatever, be your authentic self and stand in that power is something that most of us have when we're really young children. And then through school or society or jobs or whatever, relationships, I think everybody goes through different things where they're just not standing in their power. And a lot of the people I see for the sound healing and Reiki work, that is a lot of it. You see a lot of people who are in the victim mentality. And I think especially right now, there's so much going on in the world. And I think people, lots of people are just really suffering through things like this and feeling a little bit like they don't have power. And one of the things when I was flat on my back, okay, so up until that point, I was studying Reiki energy, and I considered myself a light worker, which means, holding light, radiating light and peace and love for the world, for other people. And so I really used that time of healing to dig into that. And what I realized is just standing in my light, and what that means to me, it means something different to everyone, I'm sure, but to me, that means standing on Mother Earth and feeling grounded and knowing that you are connected to this beautiful web of life. Like, we tend to think of nature and the planet as separate from us, but we are woven into it. So part of standing in your power is feeling that connection to the planet, to all people, to all beings, animals, trees, everything, feeling part of that and feeling the connection to infinite energy or divine light or the light of the infinite, God, angels, call it what you will. But feeling that connection helps us to step into our power. And Pema Chodron, I quote her saying this in my book. She says, everything is a choice between, I'm not saying that correctly, but everything is a choice between love and fear. Those are the only two choices in life. So when it comes to taking care of ourselves, to making decisions about our health or relationships or whatever, it's like the decision is love or fear. How does love decide? How does self-love decide? And often when we go to doctors, even we give our power away to the doctors. We have to, or any health professional, that's a really easy thing to do. We have to hold ourselves in love and say, what is really the best thing for me? And do the homework and figure out what the best course of treatment might be. And not just give our power away in relationship with anyone, like work, medical, other familial relationships. It's holding that power and being your authentic self. And that's hard. I mean, that's a really hard thing to do. I mean, we sometimes when we do that, people in our circles don't like it. It feels uncomfortable for them. So it's a hard thing to do. But I think when we can be our authentic selves, we can be our most healthy, physically and emotionally and mentally. Yeah, I do.
For our listener at home, I just want to also say that we've got a beautiful episode with Simone Lee, and we talk a lot about the 3D, the 4D, and the 5D concept, which Kathy has sort of alluded to a little bit here. So if you're interested in learning more about that, I just want to direct them there.
Beautiful.
One of the things that I want to go into for a second, and I love because you're giving me all these different tangents, and then I feel like, oh no, I really wanted to go down that one. So we have to go there for a second. So I wanted to talk a little bit about, we're talking about stepping in and being authentic and listening to ourselves. One side note that I wanted to say as well is that our bodies very often will alert us to whether or not something serves us or not. And one of the cool things to do is sometimes imagine making one decision and seeing how your body reacts and making another one and seeing how your body reacts. And very often, like you were talking about, even the medical profession, I don't think we're often encouraged to get second opinions or to look elsewhere or to really check in with ourselves and see whether or not something resonates. So I just wanted to kind of add to that subject. And now I want to take us into another line of questioning, which is around the concept of it's almost like, allowing things to suck, and is that okay? And not denying how we feel as well. Because I would imagine that there is something healthy within understanding that right now I feel pissed off. Right now I feel angry. Right now I feel like a victim, maybe. And is there sort of an opportunity there to allow yourself to feel like that for a moment, or give yourself a time frame, and then to then go, okay, and now what are the things that we can do to kind of move our way out of it? Kathy, have you ever heard of the term toxic positivity before?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
So a lot of people are like, oh, rah, rah, rah. Like when you're looking at the silver lining, it's not good all the time and blah, blah, blah. And I remember re hearing toxic positivity and I was like, what is this about? So I Googled it and I read a little article, whoever wrote it, I'm not sure, but it was basically talking about how the challenge with toxic positivity is that people don't allow themselves to feel shitty, that they don't allow themselves to embrace the suck. And I personally think that that is not accurate at all, right? We can look at the silver lining. We can choose to step into our power. We can look at the opportunities that this is giving us. And we can also give ourselves an opportunity to go, you know what? I'm just going to pout for a second or feel sorry for myself, but I'm only going to give myself maybe a window of time in which to do that. Can you talk a little bit about maybe your experience with that, any of those concepts, thoughts?
I think that's really good. I think it's important before we can ever get to the silver lining conversation. What is the gift in that journey? There's a lot of that this is just really shitty and I hate it and I'm very uncomfortable in the unknown. Like there's a time in most healing journeys where you don't know where it's going and it's scary. And you have to own that. Like we have to feel those feelings. I love Dr. Gabor Mate, who writes a lot about this sort of thing. It's like he's written this wonderful book, oh, When the Body Says No. And it's like we have to listen to our bodies. We have to feel the emotions. It's okay to sit and, you get a terrifying diet. It's okay to sit and cry for a day if you have to. But what we're talking about is not living in that emotion,
Living in that.
not living in the this sucks and I hate it and my life, right? Like it would be really easy sometimes with some diagnoses and things to just pout and be in that and let that be the way you go through your days. That you have to feel it that is healthy. Otherwise it gets lodged in the body, right? Like anytime you're not
Oh,
dealing with an
unexpressed.
emotion, unexpressed emotion, it gets lodged in the body. Traumas from childhood, whatever, they get lodged in our bodies and we have to feel those emotions and work through them. And for anybody who's going through this who says, this is too much. I can't go through these emotions. Get help. I mean, that is when it is a good idea to find a therapist and work through it. But once you've had that pity party or, crying jag or whatever it happens to be, you get that out of your system, and then it's like we take time to regroup. And there is this, it's about being comfortable with the unknown period. There is a period of darkness where we don't know. I say I found my soul's purpose through this journey I've been on. It took years. This did not happen overnight. I went through a lot of bad days and days where I just said, put my hands up and said, I don't know. I don't know where any of this is going to go. And I don't know if this is ever going to be better. But I'm going to think about a new path forward. And just beginning to ask some of those questions, the right questions, like I was referring to earlier, just beginning to ask the questions about what else could I do if I can't do X, Y, and Z? What else could I do? Like, what if it's always going to be like this? What would give me joy? Like, what would light me up right now? What would make me happy? What would make me happy a year from now? What's one step that I can take? Yeah, but it is, and Pema Chodron wrote a whole couple of books about this, just being comfortable with uncertainty, because so much of life, when we enter these periods of suffering, it's all about the uncertainty. That's part of why we suffer. Like, we don't know if things are ever going to get better, right? So, yeah.
I wanted to ask you, and I'm sure you've thought about this many times before. Do you believe that you chose to get sick for your soul's journey? Do you believe that this is something that maybe you decided to do before you came to earth as a soul? I mean, I don't know a lot about your beliefs in terms of this concept. I know that I interviewed Rob Schwartz many a couple years ago about his book, Your Soul's Plan and Your Soul's Gift. I'm not sure if you've read them. Yeah, but
I have not.
oh, they definitely will resonate with you, I think. But they talk a lot about how we sort of set up our soul's plan before we come here, with the situations that we're going to go through and the relationships we have with people, such as people who care for us when we are sick. So I wanted to know a little bit about, have you kind of gone into your deeper self and explored that idea? Like, do you think that you set yourself up for this, or was this something that happened to you and then you were able to navigate through it?
Okay, I would like to say to you
Just a
that
small question.
just a little question. I would like to say to you that no, of course I did not set myself up for this, but what I truly believe is, yes, I do believe that we come into this life. This is Earth school, right? And we come here to learn, and I do believe that for whatever crazy reason, I chose a difficult healing path. I just did. I've been dealing with all of these things since I was a kid, even though some of them, I've reversed autoimmune. I've done other things, and then I have new challenges. And my friends go, "What the heck is with you?" But I do believe that I, at some level, I came into this life with a soul plan that said, this is how my soul is going to grow, is through these difficult health challenges. And, as part of my astrological chart, which I believe are astrological charts, if you look at evolutionary astrology, it's all about, where the planets were the moment you were, born into this world. And I have a lot of the healing journey right there in my astrological chart. It's really interesting, and it's something that I did not even recognize until maybe a couple decades ago. It's like I didn't always know this, and like Chiron, the wounded healer, is like in an important place in my chart, I guess. So the answer to your question is yes, I do believe that is what my soul chose coming into this life. And I guess, we make the best of it or we don't. We use it as a learning opportunity or we don't. I believe that whatever is thrown in front of any of us as an obstacle is an opportunity to grow as a soul. I do believe that. And we all go through different things. I have friends who have incredibly crazy, toxic, relationship issues that they go through, but that is how they're learning. That is how they are learning in this lifetime. We all have something different. I guess this just, so the answer to the question is yes, I do believe that. Yeah.
I felt a lot of emotion too when you were talking about that. I would imagine that would be, it's kind of like, I remember when I did this interview with Rob Schwartz and we were talking about the personality, and I had some difficult things, you know, that I was trying to grapple with in terms of that, because it's like our mind is like, what? I would never choose that. Or I would, what? You know, but then our deeper sense, our higher self, our deeper self, whatever, that there's like this higher awareness that just trusts that everything is in divine order and divine perfection. And it's kind of like the marriage of the two. Do you remember when you had that moment of realization what your truth was in relation to this? Or do you think you always kind of understood?
I think I began to understand it probably maybe 20 years ago. I was beginning to get a clue, but it's really come into focus in, I'd say, in the past, 5 to 10 years. It's really come into focus that yes, this is it. I know that this is. It wasn't just because when I was younger, it was just a couple of things that were going on health-wise that I had to deal with. And then I got those under control. And then there's more and more and more and more. It's like, oh yeah, I think this is a pattern. And we have to look at patterns in our lives, whatever they happen to be, right? So this is my pattern. I do see, I see this is, you did detect a lot of emotion in it because like, I don't want this to be the path. Like, there were times when I was like, why me? Why is this happening to me? I don't want this. I don't want to be sick. I've always exercised. Including going to the gym 3 days a week and hiking and swimming and all this stuff and walking. And I've always, I've been vegetarian and then pescatarian for, a couple of decades, and I've eaten organic for, a couple of decades. And so I do everything right. I take all the supplements, I don't do any of the bad stuff. And it's like, and I get so sick with autoimmune or my back collapses. And you just go, but wait a minute, I'm doing everything right. This isn't the journey I want. I want the other journey. I don't want this one. But that's what my soul needed to go through this life, I think.
Well, one thing I will say, which is a no-brainer, is that your story inspires other people. It helps other people know that they can do it. And, you know, when you're out there and you're sharing your tales and you're giving your inspiration and you've put out a book into the world, I mean, what a gift for someone else who's sitting at home
And
suffering
I,
with that.
as I was, again, it started from my own journal that just helped me get through with quotes and little bits of wisdom I'd begin to write down. That was for myself. And then at some point I said, I'm going to do this book. And I thought to myself, if it helps one person, this all will have been worth it. The whole healing crisis would have been worth it just to help one person through. And it's helped a lot of people. And that is just the greatest gift to me. And so when I say to people, when I said very early on when we began talking, I said, this healing journey can be a portal to purpose. I have this whole new purpose in my life. It is talking about this. It is helping people. And the sound healing and Reiki healing as well, it all helps people who are at that very dark time in their healing crisis, and they don't know what to do, and they're just looking for somebody to help navigate. And so the book is like a toolkit. Every chapter in the book is a tool that people can use. And I've even had people who are completely healthy, never had a health problem, say to me, I read the whole book and I got so much out of it, and I'm not even sick. And like that was like the greatest gift to me, because I feel like the whole healing journey, all of my suffering is worth it, that it does help other people who are on a similar path, and there are lots and lots of people who go through this.
I think too, like when we take care of our own energy, we inspire other people, number one, to do the same. But we also are sort of like cleaning up our energetic footprint around us. We kind of forget that when we're walking down the mall, for example, that we're having this effect on everyone around us, you know? And I think it was Stuart Wilde, one of his books, I can't remember exactly, but he was basically talking about how when people are pretty close to us, but not even near us, they could still be affecting us. And we sort of forget about that. And when we are cleaning up ourselves energetically, when we are stepping into our power, Inadvertently, we're dropping these ideas or inspiration into other people. We might not even need to ever talk to them to do that.
That's right.
This conversation will continue next week, and I hope you'll join us. Hi, thanks so much for listening to the episode. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please leave us a review where you listen to your podcast and share it with your friends. Thank you. New episodes every Thursday.